Well, Susie and I got back from India on early Friday morning. It was so exciting because we flew into Atlanta. We went from about three plane trips to get to Atlanta. And then we fly to Augusta, and we circle Augusta for about a half an hour, and then head back to Atlanta. We were supposed to get in around midnight, and then we got back to Atlanta, and then they said the next flight out would be at 6 a.m. So Susie and I rented a car, and we got back around 4. But we are back and excited to be back, and we know good things happened while we were gone. But, you know, it takes about 2 days to get to India, and we were there for about 6 days, and then it took us over 2 days to get back. But, you know, when in these kind of trips, you have a lot of time to think about things. I did a lot of thinking about what is truly vital, what is important. And we all of us need to realize that God is working out his purposes in the earth. And it's, sometimes it's hard to see that in all the difficulties of life and things that we're dealing with and all that we hear about in the news media. But God is working in the earth, and he's doing great things. And yes, evil things are happening, but I want you to know today that God has not forsaken you, and he's not forsaken the church. In fact, this is the finest hour of the church. We are living in the finest hour of the church, and we are the light of the world. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are the light of the world. And as the world gets darker, and I think we can all see that it's getting darker, the church gets brighter. And whether we realize it or not, we're moving toward the second coming of Jesus. We're moving towards that. Now, no one knows the time or the hour of his coming. The Bible says that only the Father God himself knows. Jesus doesn't know. The angels don't know. Only God the Father knows. But it's not our job to speculate about that day and that hour. It is our duty to prepare ourselves and to watch. Now, someone asked me, am I going to do a message on end times today? I'm not going to go through end times doctrine and theology. We'll do that at another time. I promise sometime this year, because I was going through this. I think we do need to hear about that. There's a lot of teaching on TV and books about this. So I'll touch on some things, but we'll do some more in-depth teaching on this later. But we're not to speculate on the time or the hour, but we're to be ready. And all of us, that's our job, is to be ready and prepared. So today I do hope that there's kind of a wake-up call. I think some people are asleep in about the things of God. We don't need to be caught completely unaware. And my prayer is that we're not so enamored in worldly affairs that we forget eternal matters. God's doing something in the earth, and he's given each one of us a part to play in those eternal things. We're eternal beings, and when we're involved in eternity here on the earth. So Jesus spoke some words to his disciples in Matthew 24 that... Yeah, thanks, Kelly. Appreciate it, sir. Jesus spoke some words in Matthew 24 that are both scary and encouraging at the same time. And so I want to read some verses from Matthew 24. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I encourage you to do that in your spare time this week. But these are some scriptures that talk about the future, and it gives us a vision of things to come. And I want to read this from the Campbell Johnson paraphrase. And this is in Matthew 24, verse 3. So if you want to just follow along on the screen, you can. We'll start in verse 3. There we go. They walked out of the city, and Jesus sat down on the Mount of Olives to rest. While he was relaxing, his understudies came to him, and without the presence of a large crowd, they said, "Tell us when God's house will be destroyed. And also tell us about your coming again," whatever that means. "And describe to us what the climax of history will look like. Jesus answered, he said, here are some things you need to consider. Beware of illusions. Beware of illusions. Now, what's an illusion? An illusion is a false idea or belief. It is a deception. Believing something is real when it's not. So, I mean, a deception is, you know, you're convinced that what you're doing, you may even believe you're acting on behalf of God when it's not acting on the behalf of God. That's a deception. And, you know, some of the terrorists, you know, they sacrifice their life. They believe that they're going to have some kind of eternal reward for killing a bunch of people. I mean, that's a deception. You see that? But they believe that's God. They believe they're going to get rewarded when they're going to be punished for it. So that's an illusion. Beware of illusions, both of your own and those of other persons. While you are looking for my appearance in the future, you see that? Looking for his appearance. You could be confused by the illusions of those persons who claim to be Christ. Many will buy their line. Before this era comes to completion, there will be a number of active wars and the threat of many more. Do not be anxious for your own security during these times, but realize that wars will take place before the climax of history. There will be strife within nations. There will be strife and war between nations. Nations will lack food. There will be plagues of insects and pests. There will be natural calamities like earthquakes and storms in different places. All of this is happening right now, if you're not aware. These events will mark the beginning of your testing and pain. In addition to the general threats I have outlined, oh great, you will personally be arrested, tortured, and many of you will be killed. And that's happening right now. We actually have more martyrs for Jesus right now than in all of history. It's happening right now. Sometimes you'll feel hated by everyone because you have associated yourself with me. During these periods of severe testing, many will turn from their commitment to me. Meaning just the pressure of the things of the world, this life, causes you to stray from God, turn and go the other direction. Some will identify family members to an enemy, while others will actually hate their relatives. Many phonies will appear who claim to be God's spokesperson. They'll convince the following with their delusions. Because of the power of destruction will be so intense, the motivation which love inspires will wane in many persons. I think New King James says, the love of many will grow cold. And that's where the church has a huge opportunity of, because we're the church of love. We're the church of agape love. We're the church of God's love. And there ought to be a difference with us. Talk about being a light when we go out in the world. There ought to be something different about that. And people will be attracted to us because love is growing cold. But the person who perseveres to the completion of the age will find personal wholeness and fulfillment. And the good news, are you all encouraged today or are you like ready to go home now? I'm telling you, it's, you know, kind of shakes you a little bit. Read the whole chapter. And the good news of the spirit dimension will be told throughout the earth so that every nation will have an opportunity to respond to it. Only then, lost my place. Only then will the climax of history come about. So God's working in the earth, and you know they say there's about 16,000. You know, when it's talking in the Great Commission about reaching the nations, it's not talking about the 277 nations like the United States in the earth. It's talking, when it talks about nations, it talks about people groups. People groups. And there's about 16,000, over 16,000 people groups. There are still 6,000 unreached people groups. Now, there are many churches and ministries and gospel societies and groups that are working on this right now to reach those 6,000. Translations, all kind of money and effort. And so I don't know the time frame, but we're in a better place to reach those 6,000 than ever before in history. So I don't really know a time frame. Do I think Jesus is coming tomorrow? I don't think so because of this scripture here. But we're getting closer. In fact, our host in India, Rosalind, is of a people, an unreached people group, one of the 6,000. And as far as we know, she's the only Christian in her group of about 35,000 people. But she's now pastor of a church and a life-giving church ready to go back to her people to share the gospel. And I believe they'll have opportunities to open up other churches there. So let's tick one off, the 6,000, check that one off. But this has to happen before the end of the age. So today I want to give some keys to living in the last days. We are living in the last days. Whether it's tomorrow or 10 years from now, we need to live and be prepared for His coming. So the first key, first point is, find out the will of God for your life and live it. Find out the will of God for your life and live it. There's a difference between actively seeking His plan for your life and doing your own thing. You can come to church, you can be in a Bible study, you can pray, you can be Spirit-filled and still do your own thing. And many today are doing that. They think, well, I'll just go to church and check off that box or do some religious things, check that box off, but it's basically I'm going to do my own thing. You know, God's got a plan for your life. He's created you to do something. Now, we want to help you here fulfill God's plan for your life. We want to help you find God's plan. But I can't help you if you're not open and actively seeking it. I can't seek Him for you. I really wish I could. If I could just, you know, all do it all here at Goodyear Church, I mean, I would do it. I mean, I'm a servant. One of my love languages is acts of service. I love to serve people. One of my favorite jobs besides pastoring was as a waiter. Loved being a waiter. Serving people. I mean, I loved it. Got paid for it. But I love serving people. So if I could do it for you, I would. But I can't. I mean, I can try to create that desire in you. But you've got to open your heart to God and not be afraid because, you know, there's this misconception that if I seek God, He's going to make my life miserable. If I seek God, He's going to take this from me and take that from me and take this from me. I tell you what, God's plan is found in John 10:10. I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. A life overflowing with good things. Now, He's not promising you a perfect, comfortable life. If you're looking for the comfortable life, that's not found in Christ. But if you're looking for a better life and a life with peace and joy and purpose, now that's found in Christ. Now, you're not going to like what I'm about to say, so just go ahead and just brace yourself for this. Living for the American dream, what's the American dream? Better home, better clothes, better car, better school, better neighborhood, better of everything, right? Prosperity. Living for the American dream does not mean you're living for God. Because the American dream is not the purpose of our lives. Does everybody get that? All these things. And see, so many people, I'm talking about church people, are wrapped up, and they, you know, if you get right down to it, they're wrapped up in the American dream, and they put that, they connect that with God, like that's God's plan. Now, God, on the other hand, God will prosper you. But that's not the purpose of our lives. Prosperity is just a tool, another part, to be used to fulfill God's plan. It's not the end all. You being more comfortable is not the purpose of your life. And it's hard because, you know, we're bombarded by TV and media. And I'm going to tell you, the advertisers, they do an amazing job to make you feel poor, to make you feel like you lack, like you don't have enough. And their job is to make you feel unsatisfied with what you have. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. But their job is to make you feel lack so that you'll go out and purchase something to make you feel better. But how many know the new car smell wears off? And the thing, and again, it's great having a new car. I mean, it gets you where you're going and it's safe and all other things. But I tell you, it wears off. And it didn't really give you the satisfaction that you thought it would. Because it's not the purpose. It's just a tool to be used for God's purposes. Now, I've really been thinking about the words written by Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, found in the book of Philippians. Let's read that in Philippians 3, verse 12. Y'all awake today? I should be the one that's tired. Philippians 3, verse 12. I'm going to read this from the Message translation. Let these words kind of just soak in here. I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have it made. But I'm well on my way. Reaching out for Christ. Is that your testimony today? Reaching out for Christ? Who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this. But I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. That's who we are. I'm not going back to Egypt. I'm not going back to the old ways. So let's keep focused on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us, if any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. Stick with me, friends. Keep track of those you see running the same course, headed for the same goal. Meaning, hang around with people that have purpose in their lives, God's purpose in their lives. There are many out there taking other paths, choosing other goals, and trying to get you to go along with them. I've warned you of them many times, sadly. I'm having to do it again. I tell you, who you hang out with influences you. Now, if we were to hang out with you, would we know that you're a believer? The things that you talk about, the things that are important to you. It says out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. I could spend an hour with each one of you, and I wish I could today, and try to locate you where you're at. What's important to you? Is God's plan important to you? God's purpose? It should be constantly on our minds. Every decision, every purchase, everything we're doing in our life. I mean, what does God think of this? I mean, in effect, I mean, one time purchasing a car, I could have gotten a certain car that, you know, the higher end of the line. But I decided to get the lesser model. It was about $16,000 cheaper, or basically the same car. But look at the title, the tag on there, man. If I'm just paying for that little emblem, $16,000 for it. And I decided to get the lesser because I could do more. See, I was considering God's will, God's plan. I've warned you of them many times. Sadly, I'm having to do it again. All they want is easy street. We're not talking about easy street here. They hate Christ's cross, but easy street is a dead end street. Those who live make their bellies their gods. Belches are their praise. All they can think of is their appetites. But there's far more to life for us. Turn to your neighbor and say, far more. Far more. That sounds like a drugstore. Yeah. Far more. God's got far more for you. He has great things in your future. He's got great plans for you. You're not an insignificant, no good, low life loser. You are somebody. Jesus died for you. God don't make no junk. Everybody say, I am not junk. Go ahead and say, I am beautiful. don't get me going there, James. We're citizens of high heaven. We are citizens of heaven. Do you know who you're sitting next to today? Woo! Citizens of heaven. We're seated with Him in heavenly places, blessed with all spiritual blessings. We're in Christ. We have been made righteous. The same rights and privileges that Jesus Himself has, we have right now. Some of you look like you're dead. You need to poke you and see if there's any life there. You're not going to make me happy, Pastor. You're not going to cheer me up. I'm just going to have this sour look on my face. Don't try to encourage me today. Don't do it. I'm not going to let you. I'm just going to look at you with... I can't even do it. Go ahead and look at me like this. Y'all don't know how blessed you are. I've just been in India. I was riding on the back of the scooter with our host. A back of the scooter riding through this city that is just crazy. I've got no helmet on. I'm not wearing my boots and my leather pants. I'm hanging on for dear life, and they have no traffic signals, no lanes, and I'm just praying in tongues the whole way. It was supernatural how we got anywhere. People on bikes and scooters and cars. We have no reason for road rage. You know, and when the car is pulling out in the other lane and there's this car coming at you and they're playing chicken, I don't know how they decide who's going to flinch. But it always works out. I never saw one accident. You got it good. You got it good. So stop all your whining and complaining right now. Okay, now we got that out of the way, okay? Where are we? We're waiting for the arrival of the Savior, the Master Jesus Christ, who will transform our earthly bodies into glorious bodies like His own. He'll make us beautiful. There it is. And whole. With the same powerful skill by which He is putting everything as it should be under and around Him. Have you ever heard of the fable about the three apprentices of Satan? You ever heard this fable? Okay. Anybody? They had come to the earth for one last assignment before they finished their training. They are in hell talking to Satan, the chief of the devils, about their plans to tempt and ruin man. The first said, "I will tell them there is no God." Satan said, "That will not delude many, for they know there is a God." The second said, "I will tell them there is no hell." Satan answered and said, "You will deceive no one that way. Men know, even now, that there is a hell for sin." The third said, "I will tell men there is no hurry." "Go," said Satan, "and you will ruin them by the millions." Tell them there is no hurry. The most dangerous of delusions is that there is plenty of time. The most dangerous day in a man's life is when he learns that there's such a word as tomorrow. There are things that we must be doing that we can't put off any longer. No one knows if for him tomorrow will ever come. And so we need to be living our lives with no regrets. We need to be living our lives with a sense of urgency. Need to be living our lives seeking His plan and His will, praying about things. Lord, what would you have me to do? And again, you don't have to have it all figured out. You just need to know the next step. The Bible says the steps of a righteous person are ordered by the Lord. He's created you for something amazing. Find out what it is. Now, this next one, I'm not going to get through all these points today, but this next one is avoid distractions. I've read this verse many times, and I'm going to read it again. Mark 4, verse 19, Amplified. I guess the Lord's wanting us to get a hold of this because I've read it several times this year already. Mark 4, verse 19, Amplified. And this is a perfect scripture for this church because we have many people here that have an amazing testimony, amazing Christian walk, have heard the word, been involved for church for a long time. So this is a good scripture. "Then the cares and anxieties of the world, distractions of the age, and the pleasure and delight in false glamour and deceitfulness of riches, and the craving and passion and desires for other things, creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless." These things in our lives, the circumstances, the attacks, all the different things are to stop you from bearing fruit for the kingdom. And He wants you to get you so wrapped up in just the world and living in the world that you don't have time for anybody else. You don't have time to reach anybody. Our most productive and on fire days for God ought to be right now and in our future. It should not be in our past. Now, there is a huge distraction going on right now. Does anybody know what it is? This presidential election. Yeah, say oh me or amen or something. I mean, I think this presidential election is one big, huge distraction. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe we should vote. There's a lot of young people not voting. Younger people, I should say, that they haven't voted and they don't want to vote. I'm not necessarily for that. We should vote. You want to be in part of a campaign, help volunteer. You want to give money to a campaign, you know, fine, go ahead and do that. But if someone has a different point of view than you, they're not your enemy. I thought Satan was our enemy. But we look at the people of different political parties like they're our enemy or they're evil. And even if they were evil and going to hell, shouldn't we be praying for them and ministering to them and loving them? Instead of fighting them? And so this is just a word to Good News Church. Let's not let politics divide this family here. Think about what you say. Think about what you write on Facebook. Some of the things, I mean, you need to call me before you post some things. And I'll give you a thumbs up or a thumbs down. A like or a no like. No likey. I know you want to vent and you want to express yourself, but that's not the place to do it. There's things you're saying on Facebook, you're bringing division in here. Now, I'm not looking at anybody here, but anybody that's criticizing President Obama, you ought to have your mouth washed out with soap. Like the Catholic nuns used to do, wash out my mouth. He is not your problem. President Bush is not your problem. The devil is your problem. And your stupid decisions. Come on now. Come on now. You guys are sick. We got you warped around here. Come on, bring it on. Bring on more. One longtime member said to me, I crave correction. Who craves correction? What are you talking about? But you're not going to like this one. Some of your remarks against our current or past presidents is missing the mark. Otherwise known as sin. Our job is not to spend our time talking and think about politics. We're to pray for those in authority, not tear them down. And by tearing down our leaders, we're only hurting ourselves. Now, who is your source? Did I hear that right? Did you say God? I thought the U.S. government was our source. I thought President Obama was our source. I thought the Congress was our source. I thought the mayor of Augusta was our source. Who's our source? Who is our source? He's our source. I'm trying to think about who could be the craziest person we could elect for president right now. And you know, even that person wouldn't bother me. You have your person. I know you already have it. The news media loves strife, scandal, division, corruption. They love all that because they're trying to get you to watch. Why do they want you to watch? To raise their ratings and to get your money by watching their advertisers. It's all about money. So they want to stir up division. You know, I talk to my mom. She watches Fox News all day long. Sometimes I call her, and she's just like freaking out about the world. She's this 82-year-old woman sitting up in this nice house up in Minnesota, rarely goes out, and she's freaking out about the world. I said, Mom, what problems do you have? Well, they told me on Fox News about this and this and that. Turn it off. Do like me and go cable free. I am cable free. And I'm feeling good about it. I haven't even watched any football games. Men are like cringing. Don't talk about that. Football. I'm feeling good. I don't know what's going on in the world. I haven't watched one of the presidential debates. What did I miss? How many got saved? Who got filled with the Spirit? Whose lives got touched by watching the presidential debates? The only one that got anything out of it was the media companies, because they have the highest ratings they've ever had for debates. They are making more money. And we're not going to fall into that trap. We're not going to let that here at Good News Church. We're going to love each other, even if we're of different political parties. I'm going to love you. I'm going to stand with you. Whatever your political beliefs are. And I'm just not going to talk about it. I don't have time for it. And then once November comes, there'll be something else to distract us. Because they're wanting to get your money. And if there's not something there, they're going to manufacture it. I mean, you have these analysts get on there. I just ran a little bit. I've been in India. Give me a break, will you? I had nobody to share this with. I talked to the Indians, and they were like, what is a Trump? I don't know what that is. Okay, I got a scripture for you. I've got nowhere today. You have sidetracked me. This is a scripture you ought to put on your mirror in your bathroom. Put it by your TV. By your cable box. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy. And so all you political gripers, you're not going to like this verse. You probably already have it torn out of your Bible. Or maybe you had it all marked up already. But I didn't write this. Sean, I didn't write this. This is not the Matt Judd translation. Although that sounds pretty good. MJT. Kind of just flows, doesn't it? MJT, okay. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority. Is that what you're doing? Is that what you're doing? Around, you know, you gather around the kitchen table and you're all doing this. That we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Don't get distracted. What's God's plan? What's God doing? What's your part in the earth? We're life givers around here. We're a light. We're ambassadors for Christ. We got to live at a higher level than others. We can't just operate in this natural world and let us affect us like everybody else. We got to do things differently. We got to walk in love. We got to love people. We got to give life. And let's not get caught up in division and strife. This next president is not going to solve your problems. He's not going to be able to solve the problems in the United States. We are blessed. But, and I'll finish this up next week, other different topics. But one of the things I want to address next week is I want to talk about finances. I really feel like we need to talk about finances, about living in the last days. God, Lord's been showing me some things there. It's going to be an important piece. And we'll do some other things. But I want to end today by praying for our country and praying for our leaders. Before I do that, everybody had bow your heads, please, close your eyes. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, today's a good day for you to do that. Our million-dollar question that we ask people today, ask people around the city and really around the world, if you were to die today or 100 years from now, do you know if you'd go to heaven? Do you know? You can know. You should know. And if you answer no, you don't know, or maybe, I think I might go to heaven, let's change that today. Let's have you walking out of here with an assurance of knowing your eternal destiny. For this life here on earth is a vapor compared to eternity. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, believing in the resurrection, then confess Jesus as your Lord, meaning you make a confession of your faith, the Bible says you will be saved. And that can happen for you today. Well, Pastor, I'm not living right. I've got sin in my life. I've got all these problems. There's no way you're going to be able to clean yourself up adequately to come to Jesus. Just come as you are. Just receive Him today. The transformation will come after you make this first step. So I want to pray with you today. Pray a simple prayer that'll change your eternal destiny. If you're here today, you say, yes, Pastor, pray with me. I want to be assured of my salvation. I want to go to heaven when I die. I want to be in God's family. I want to be in Christ. I want to be in God's family. If that's you, raise your hand. I see some hands here. Who else? Who else? Just be bold. Raise your hands. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You can look up here. Let's stand, everybody. Don't always do this, but I feel like we need to do it today. And I know it's not easy, but the folks that raise their hand, would you be so bold to come down here? I want to pray with you personally. This is awesome. Now do me a favor, and I know we know most everybody here, but do me a favor. Sometimes there's people that, hey, buddy, I like that. Sometimes there's folks that are near us that want to go, but they're afraid. And just take a moment and ask those around. We're not judging anybody, but ask those around you. If you want to go forward, I'll go with you. Anybody? I just want to make sure, because so many times they tell me their heart's beating real fast and they wanted to come forward, but they were afraid. We don't want anybody walking out of here not knowing Jesus as the Lord and Savior. Well, let's pray together. Should we do that? Let's all pray. Yeah, we'll just do that. Let's catch hands. Everybody, let's say this together. Say, Father in heaven.
Father in heaven.
We give you praise for today.
We give you praise for today.
And for your word.
And for your word.
I believe you raised Jesus from the dead. I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior.
I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior.
I receive your forgiveness.
I receive your forgiveness.
And your cleansing.
Your cleansing.
I receive your benefit package.
I receive your benefit package.
Heaven is my home.
Heaven is my home.
I'm now in Christ.
I'm now in Christ.
I'm in God's family.
I'm in God's family.
Show me your plan.
Show me your plan.
For my life.
Jesus' name. In
Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Father in heaven, I thank you for this. What's your name?
Chastity.
What's your name? Alan. Father, I pray for these folks, wonderful folks that have come forward today. Lord, just speak a blessing over them. Watch over them. Care for them. Look out for them. Lord, Lord, I just thank you. You've got great things in store for him. I know the enemy's going to try to come and take the word, but we take authority over him and stop his maneuvers right now in Jesus' name. And we declare they're moving forward in every area in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Blessings to you. God bless, man. Blessings. God bless. Hallelujah. Go back to your seat. Let's have the Philip and Selma coming up here. They're heading off on one of their 3 weeks, 15 days trip to Peru and going there to get life. They got a lot of different things planned and some different things this time. But since once you come, well, we want to pray for you as a body. We're standing with you, believing with you, praying with you. We know this is going to be a fruitful mission and a fruitful trip. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, first of all, I just thank you for strength right now. Your strength. Strengthen them. Encourage them. They go with power. They have wisdom, revelation, light. And we just thank you for unusual miracles. We just thank you for open doors of ministry. We thank you for favors already preparing the way for this trip. Bless their travels. Bless their family that remains. Thank you for providing for them in every area, for the trip and for their personal life. You watch over them. You take care of them. But you give them wisdom, Father, in every situation. No weapon formed against them shall prosper. But they boldly proclaim the word, bolder than ever. Boldness in Jesus' name. Walking in that authority and favor. Thank you for divine connections. Divine relationships, strengthen those ones they already have. But I know there's others to be met. And Lord, just open doors for more ministry. So we thank you for it. We give you praise in Jesus' name. You got anything? Love you guys. Now, let's just take a few minutes. We're wrapping things up here. But let's just go ahead and pray for our nation. Father in heaven, we pray for our president, President Obama and his family. Speak a blessing over him. You watch over him. You protect him. You guard him. Thank you for giving him wisdom. I know the end of his term is coming, winding down. But Lord, give him wisdom for these last days. Him and the cabinet and all their leaders there. Pray for our Congress. Lord, they'll make wise decisions. Decisions will bless this nation so we can get the gospel out like never before. Laws and rules and policies that will be in favor of preaching the gospel and churches. And Lord, because of our leaders, we'll have peace in this country. Lord, we pray for the city of Augusta in this area. Lord, we just thank you for harmony and unity. There will not be racial division in Augusta. There'll be harmony. There'll be people working together. We declare everybody saved in this area. The churches filling up. Disciples being made. People being sent to the nations. Harmony and unity in our neighborhoods. What the devil has meant for harm, turn it around for good right now in Jesus' name. Lord, forgive us if we've used our mouth in the wrong way. Forgive us, Father, if we've not been bringing unity but bringing division. Forgive us, Father. Give us wisdom in all that we do. Give us wisdom to walk in love. Give us wisdom to see people as they really are. Give us wisdom to see people as those that Christ died for. Let us know, Father, who our real enemy is. That's the devil and his forces. People are not our enemy. It's what behind the scenes. That's the enemy. So give us wisdom to live in these last days. Let us prosper and flourish. Help us find your plan and your will for our lives and walk in that. Show us the next step. Show us the next step in Jesus' name. the next step. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. The next step. Thank you, Father. We know what to do, when to do it, how to do it. We're in the right place, the right time, with the right people, saying the right things. We have wisdom. Confusion, you've got to go.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. In the last couple of weeks, Sean and Kathy have had two people very close to them unexpectedly depart and go to heaven. One was a man in his 50s. Another was a young man who the enemy just took him before he should have gone. And, you know, one of the biggest distractions that we face in the last days in life is not just what happens to us, but what happens to those that are around us. And Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote in Corinthians, and he said this. He said that we serve a God who's a God of all comfort. But that comfort that we receive from God isn't just for us. But that we are to take of that comfort that we ourselves have in Christ, and we are to impart that comfort and use what God has given us to comfort others. Now, I bring this up because I know Sean and Kathy are not the only ones who have people close to them that are suffering, people close to them that are enduring things. Maybe it's not you personally. Some of you are. Some of you personally have challenges. Some people here are facing situations. Some people here are undergoing treatment for serious diseases, facing financial situations, all kinds of things. But many are in situations, in circumstances where the people that are around you, people that you love, people that you know, people maybe that God has just brought into your life, suddenly they're in times of grief, they're in trouble. Ben, I think I saw Ben, I heard his voice. Ben, are you in here? He went to hospitality. Ben's mother's been given a very serious diagnosis and is undergoing chemotherapy, and she lives with him, and it's a situation. So I know there are other people. If you're here today and you'd say, yeah, that's me. I have people in my life that are facing things, and it's distressing me. It's distracting me. It's kind of a deal with me. Raise your hand. I want to just pray for you where you are. I know there's a number of you. It's not just one or two of us. Yeah. Well, let's pray for one. In fact, lift your hand and the believers around you. I want other believers gather around them. We believe that every believer here is a minister, an able minister. Just gather around. If you know one, right, keep your hand raised. Here's somebody. Here's Jeanette. Can't see that. Here's a lady back here. Jerry, Steve. People. Here we go. Here's somebody. Selma's there. Has everybody got somebody? There's people here in the back. We want to pray, make sure everybody's got somebody praying for them. Anybody else? And I'll just lead us in prayer and just begin to pray for them. That the comfort that is for us would flow through us. First of all, that they would receive whatever comfort, strength. Father, we pray, just as we see in the scripture that Paul prayed. As he prayed for the churches, one of the strong things that he prayed, one of the things he prayed repeatedly was for strength. And Father, I pray for strengthening now in these people. That every one of these, Father, every one of your representatives, every one of your ambassadors here, Father, I pray for strengthening with your mighty, awesome power in their inner man. And Father, we know that everything you've given to us is not just for us, that we're part of a flow in the earth, that you're flowing through us, that we are your representatives, that we are meant to be ministers, just as Jesus Christ himself was a minister and a minister in the earth. We ourselves, every believer, is a minister representing heaven. And Father, I pray for a free flow of your comfort, a free flow of your strength, a free flow of your power. In Jesus' name, I pray for every person here who is dealing with a situation. It's not necessarily of them, what's going on in their own lives, of their own life, but around them. And Father, I ask you for an equipping in Jesus' name, for a strengthening. Hallelujah. Well, we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for it. We thank you for it. I pray for understanding to come, that you would know, each person would know just what to say and what to do. May your eyes be flooded would light from on high, that you would see what needs to be done, that you would hear in your heart what needs to be said, and you'd have the boldness to say it, to declare it. I pray for a boldness within you, that you wouldn't just shrink back in fear, but that you'd step forward boldly, that you would be, as the Holy Spirit enables you, that you would be an ever-present help. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit, He is our ever-present help. But I pray that every believer would be an ever-present help in time of need. Hallelujah. And Father, I thank you today for ministering to these ministers, for ministering to these who go forth in your name, for ministering to these who said, yeah, I'll be a comfort, I'll be a help, I'll be a strength, I'll be a support. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And Father, finally, I ask you that you bring people to them. Bring people to these people to represent you, Father, but people that will come and stand with them and support them and strengthen them. Strengthen those who strengthen others. Support those who are supporting others. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 And I remind us all what the Holy Spirit said to us in the scripture. He said that we should do good, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. Hallelujah. 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 We thank you for it. Let's just rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, that we have help. It's not just us trying to figure it out. There's great grace upon us today. 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 There is great grace upon us today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Great grace. When we have no words to say, there is yet great grace. Hallelujah. 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 And Father, we thank you that only you can take what the enemy has done and turn it around and bring good from it. What the enemy has come in to steal, kill, and destroy, you can turn that thing around and bring life. In Jesus' name, we thank you for doing that. Many situations, life is going to spring forth. Life is going to spring forth. Life is going to come out of death. Life is going to come out of destruction. Life is coming. Life is coming. Life is coming. Coming. Life is coming. Life is coming. Life is coming. Life is coming in Jesus' name. Life come. Hallelujah. Life come forth in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We thank you for it, Father. Glory to God. And Father, we thank you. We just remind ourselves that the God who sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, the God who raised him from the dead on the third day, that same God is in us and he's working with us today in this world. We're not here on our own. Well, you didn't leave us without help. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, that same Spirit, you are with us and you're enabling us and helping us and strengthening us today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God. You know, we often see our church, this is not the game, and we talk about this. This is not, I know some churches, it's like Sunday morning's the game, and we get in here and we're in the game. But this is not the game. This is the pre-game meeting. This is the locker room. This is where we're, you know, strengthening up a little bit. Some getting wrapped. Some getting the ice bath, you know. Hopefully nobody taking steroids in the corner, but, you know, if you need to. Frank will be giving out shots later. Just kidding. Just a joke. Just teasing. Yeah. But anyway, this is the locker room because we're about to go out these doors, y'all. We're going out these doors, and that's like running out of the tunnel. When you go out these doors, you're running out the tunnel into the game. And I want to remind you that you've already won. Christ Jesus, He fully already has won the victory. So you go out there and you play the game to win because you've already been declared the victor. You already got the ring. So that's, remember that. When you leave out of here, you're not going out trying to win a game. You've already won. Hallelujah. But go out and play the game. Be busy. Don't be distracted. Amen. Hallelujah. Nate, is there anything we need to announce before we close it up? No, Nate's just over there strumming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me just pray for you. Should we go? I want to remind you at the close of every service, there are prayer partners. They'll be right up here. If you need prayer about anything, don't leave out of here with your body in pain. Don't do that, because I tell you, there's people here, they're going to be standing up here, they know how to run that off. They know how to receive healing, help you to receive, minister healing to your body. If you have something going on in your life, don't leave out of here and say, well, you know, I hope it's going to be better. No. Come up here. Let them minister to you. Amen. God's power is available. Also, remind you that Wednesday night, we have service, 7 o'clock. I invite you, Matt and I are both going to be sharing Wednesday night. I think we're going to be having fun. Comes Sunday morning, but don't forget, what is it that happens? Yeah, Matt says anybody that's interested, if you're interested in going to the nations or going on a missions trip or doing, you know, anything for the Lord, really, it'd be a great service for you to come to, even if you don't normally come on Wednesday night. We'll give you a free pass to get in this Wednesday night. We want, you know, we'll, you know what I mean. Our entrance fee, we'll suspend it this Wednesday night just for you. Ushers, you hear that? No charge this Wednesday night. Let them come free. And then if they like it, we'll talk about, we'll negotiate a fee. Okay. Just teasing. Next Sunday morning, what I was saying, we're going to spring forward. So don't forget, or you'll come in an hour late and we'll laugh at you. And I'm going to laugh at you. I did that one time. Matt and I got there just for the benediction. Hallelujah. We were half an hour late, which made us an hour and a half late. And they were closing when we got there. Praise God. Quick trip to the cafeteria. All right. We're going to close. I just want to pray for you before we go. Oh, everybody's invited back to the atrium to eat too. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you that you watch over us and you protect us. Not one of us has to leave out of here in fear today. I don't even have to pray, Lord, be with us, because you said in your word that you would never leave us. So we're confident as we go out into the game today that you are with us. We just boldly declare our God is with us. Our God is for us. Our God is in us. Our God is on us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. And we add onto that what Jesus told his followers when he sent them out in his name. He said to them, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And we say that nothing shall by any means hurt us. Hallelujah. We thank you for it. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.